Well, I want to talk a little bit about a section in the scripture that might seem a little interesting at least, but I went ahead and titled this Repent or Perish because that's basically the subject matter that Jesus was talking to. But once you start seeing what he was trying to address, there's other things we can glean from this. But coming out of Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, Jesus immediately, and I'll go ahead and read the first scripture, but the Jews were coming up to Jesus and were telling him about some people who were killed under the power of Pilate. And it says here, there were present at that season some, in other words, some of these people came to Jesus that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now we need to pause for just a second and give you a little backstory here because we all know Pilate was a bad dude, okay? I know in one part of the scripture it might look like he was trying to help Jesus, and maybe he was, I don't know, but he was more concerned about what the people thought of him. Yeah, he was more concerned about controlling the people because you have to understand, back at that time, Pilate was not liked by Herod. Herod could have him killed, removed, whatever, and Pilate would have no choice. But here's the thing, Pilate was bad. He was not a good guy. It just so happened at this time in the biblical story that he was the governor. But the people of Galilee in general were out of Pilate's jurisdiction. He really had not much control over them. So what was happening was that there were a band of Galileans, Jews, who would go to Jerusalem and attempt to overthrow the government. Okay, this is the whole idea of overthrowing Rome for the cause of Christ, for the cause of God. And so what happened was, likely, a lot of these Galileans were caught. Think of them as the zealots, because there were a lot of them. Galileans who were going to try to overthrow the government were like zealots. And there were others, not just the zealots. But the fact is, they were trying to do whatever they could, assassinate, disrupt, and cause all kinds of mayhem for the cause of simply trying to overthrow Rome. And you have to also understand the Pharisees' position on this. They did not condone any human violence from their people to try to overthrow Rome. They hated Rome. They wanted to be free from Rome, but they didn't think that the Jews should have raised an army or at least have a lot of people to go in and try to kill. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. They believed that to a point, really, just not where Jesus was concerned. But the thing is, so there was this mixed theology as to whether or not these people deserved to die. And that's where Jesus begins to respond. So they come up to Jesus and they tell him that, hey, there were some Galileans that Pilate captured. Well, he didn't say capture, but that's what happened. Pilate captured these Galileans. Now, I don't understand the sacrifices, but Pilate mingled their blood. Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus responds. And knowing the backstory might make sense of his response. So verse 2 of chapter 13 says this, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?" In other words, the attitude was, these Jews, these Galileans, were bad. They were evil people. Even though they were Jews, they were evil. And they went, and Pilate had them killed. And Jesus is kind of refuting this conception that they deserved to die. And so Jesus was making the point, wait a minute, do you think they were worse sinners than anyone else? That they had to suffer these such things? Because the theology of Jews, and by the way, we need to understand these things, and Jesus also confronted them on these theologies, that if you suffered, the Jews believed you were being cursed by God. If you suffered. If you were rich, the Jews believed you were blessed by God. You see how this works? And so therefore, if somebody was blind, a leper, lame, mute, whatever, they're sinners. God's going to get you. Do you know any Christians who say things like that? Oh my. People have this notion that just because you may commit such and such sin, God's going to strike you down with this. What kind of God do we have? God's a merciful God. Yes, He does pass judgment. But look how long all of us got by until one day God called us. He drew our hearts and we gave our life to Him. Did your life get all of a sudden better and such that you never had to suffer anything after that? I'm like Jesus. I tell you, nay. That didn't make any change. But here He's addressing the fact that these Galileans, that the Jews were presuming were bad sinners. And therefore, they deserved what they got. I hate to say it, but a lot of us sometimes think that. They deserved it. Well, in some cases that might be true. But Jesus says, well, wait a minute. You think they were such sinners that they deserved this? He says, here, I tell you, no. But except that ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So He just now addressed the fact that just because you're not a good person, do you deserve to be killed in a horrible fashion? He's like saying, don't equate their sinful nature with their punishment in this case. Yes, sinners will suffer the eternal punishment, but that's coming at a later date. But right now, He's addressing real life in real time, and He's saying they didn't die because they were worse sinners. He says, no. He said, but if you, and I can just picture Jesus pointing at him, but if you don't repent, you're going to likewise perish. Now, you got to be careful with that word likewise. It doesn't mean you're going to be killed by Pilate. He just simply meant you were going to die, just like they died. A different kind of death maybe, but you're going to die. And so He went on to address another issue. They didn't ask about this one. This one was different. He said, or those 18. So there were other 18. You have to imply here that they also were Jews. Upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Now sometimes we read this and we don't go and study the backstory of this. But what happened was the Romans were building an aqueduct. That's to supply water. An aqueduct is used to transfer water from one location to another. And so the Jews were helping, get this, they were helping the Romans to build this aqueduct. Which is kind of odd, isn't it? Basically, the oppressed people were helping their oppressors to build a good thing. An aqueduct was very good and useful. But guess what? Somehow that tower fell and killed 18. And so Jesus is asking them the question, do you think these 18 people were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? What do you think his answer was? I tell you, nay, no, no way. And he emphasizes again, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In other words, if you don't repent, there's an eternal judgment going to happen to you as well. And he's talking to people who think they're blessed by God. So what have we learned so far? He's addressed two things that we as a people of God need to think about. Just because bad people get killed for doing whatever they were doing doesn't mean that God simply passed judgment on them at that moment. They're not worse sinners than us. We're all sinners. We're all bad, except for the grace of God who has given us his righteousness. But he said if we hadn't changed our ways, and that's, by the way, he's talking to the Pharisees and scribes and lawyers, people who think they don't need salvation. A lot of us walking around thinking we don't need salvation. Oh my, we need it like anybody and everybody else. But he also turned the tables and he said just because, you know, they got what we would say maybe deserved punishment, what about this other group of 18 who were simply doing something good? Did they deserve to get punished? Jesus is asking, were they sinners above all of Jerusalem? Why, no, he says. So just because tragedy strikes doesn't mean that's a result of God's judgment right then. I know this might sound a little complicated, but it's because the Jews felt like whatever happened to you in life was based on how much sin you had in your life. Let me turn it around the other way. Have you heard of Christians who have had severe tragedies happen? The one that comes to my mind immediately is that one lady at the Baptist church years ago, so some years ago, who made a trip to up north, I want to say Michigan, but I could be wrong about that, and I think a water heater exploded and killed how many? Four? Five? Now, I would ask you the same question Jesus said. Do you think that that family were sinners above everyone else? No. So we can't sit here in our pew seats, comfortable pew seats, and start passing judgment on what happens to people and saying, well, you know, hey, God must have passed judgment on them. And tragedies happen. Tragedies happen. Why? It's a cursed world. Don't think because you're a Christian, that if you've given your heart to Christ, that you're exempt. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but the thing is, you're not exempt from any. I mean, God forbid. I hope none of us, when we travel and go home, that we're all safe and we get there. Why else do you think we pray for traveling grace? Especially when we go on a long trip, because there's a possibility we could die in a car accident. That doesn't make us worse sinners than anybody. But what Jesus is trying to get across to the people is that tragedy will hit or punishment will occur regardless. Okay, we may say you deserve it. And again, I don't know, but some situations you might think some people deserve what they got. But then there's times when people, tragedy strikes, and we feel like, what happened? What went on? Why in the world did that lady lose so many of her family? Questions like that are hard to understand. But Jesus didn't stop there. So here he is trying to strike down the notion that that it's not how much spiritual you are as to how your life is going to go day by day. You can be the most spiritual person in Bethel Chapel and you still could have tragedy strike. I hope not. I pray not. But it could happen. It could happen. And it has nothing to do with whether suddenly you slipped one day and committed a sin, but then asked God to forgive you, but he went ahead and punished you anyway. We sing about amazing grace. Even when Jesus talked about earthly fathers, he said, what father of you, if your son asks for what, a fish, that you give him a serpent? Or if he asks for bread, what, yeah, give him a stone? So it's like, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more would your heavenly Father? See, that's the thing. Jesus was all time comparing the differences between human behavior and godly behavior, and God is not that kind of God. Yes, he is going to pass judgment. There is coming a time, but he's talking about, in this case, when you're living your life, and if something happens, unexpected especially, it's not simply because you committed some sin. He was attempting to teach the Jews that this had nothing to do with their life, because he used an example of the bad guys, the Galileans, who went up to Pilate to probably try to overthrow, or at least some of the Romans. He then switched to the people who were helping the Romans to build an aqueduct, the Tower of Siloam. And then a tragedy struck there. So this prompted a parable. And I'll go through this kind of quick. So Jesus immediately goes into this parable. It says here in verse 6, he spake also this parable. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and he found none. This tells me one thing. People at least think that the amount of fruit something produces actually represents a godly perspective. And kind of so. But here he's using this example that he has a tree that's not producing any fruit. So he said, and then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. So what's the verdict? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? In other words, this fig tree is taking up space. It's doing nothing, taking up water and minerals and not producing anything. Naturally, we all would think, okay, let's just draw the line in the sand and just cut it off and just get rid of it. It's not doing any good, so just get rid of it. But then the dresser of the vineyard intervenes. So the dresser says this, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it and dung it. So what is the dresser doing? He's given this tree another chance. One more chance at least. He didn't stop there. He's also given it special attention. Think about that. All of you here in church, where there's so many people here out there not even listening to the gospel, you're getting special attention. I know that may sound odd, but you're hearing the gospel and you're getting special attention, whereas a lot of people out there aren't getting it necessarily. And so here's the thing. And remember, Jesus said, unless you repent, you likewise shall perish. And by the way, he's talking about eternally perish for all eternity. And I'm going to end with this scripture. So this is the dresser of the field. He says, and if it bear fruit, in other words, I'm going to give it one more chance. And if it finally bear fruit, he says, then well, we'll leave it alone. all is well. But if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. That's judgment. That's judgment. Unless we all repent, we will all likewise perish. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the things he's teaching us. God, I pray we keep getting all these chances, not just one more time, but sometimes many more times. But God, if we keep refusing, we're going to perish. So I pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our heart and be drawn to give our hearts to Jesus Christ. It's so easy. All we have to do is just ask him, Lord, save us. Forgive us of our sins so that we may inherit eternal life. Help us, Lord. Help us to find that path. So we ask in Jesus' name, amen.